150 years of the Fielden Centre. March the 11th this year is an important date as it marks 150 years since Mrs. Sarah Jane Fielden opened her school. To celebrate this, the Fielden Centre Association is holding a weekend of celebrations over the 12th and 13th of March. And this talk is the first of three about the building and its many uses over the years. The Fielden Centre is a Grade 2 listed building. The first mention of it is on the 13th of October 1870, when a plan was submitted to Todmorden Town Council of a schoolhouse and dwelling house at Law Holm, proposed to be built by Samuel Fielden Esquire. The Town Council resolved that same be approved. Samuel Fielden was the first son of Honest John Fielden, MP, and grandson of Joshua Fielden, the founder of the Fielden Cotton Empire. Samuel built the school for his wife, Sarah. The architect was John Gibson, RIBA. He was chosen by the Fielden brothers for other distinguished buildings in Todmorden, including the Town Hall and the Unitarian Church. The school stands on the site formerly used by Ewood Mill and the adjacent Mill Dam. The mill had been orientated along the former course of the River Calder, which was then the Lancashire-Yorkshire border. When, in the late 18th century, the river was straightened, the county border continued to follow the old line of the river. The school building straddled the county boundary, making it the second Fielden Gibson building in Todmorden, built half in Lancashire and half in Yorkshire. The old border runs diagonally under the present Fielden Hall. Centrevale School was built at a cost of £7,500, which is approximately £825,000 in today's money. It was built in the Gothic Revival style, so popular with the Victorians, which draws on medieval features. The most commonly identifiable features of the Gothic Revival style is the pointed arch, used for windows, doors, and decorative elements like porches, dormers, or roof gables. Other characteristic details include steeply pitched roofs and front-facing gables with delicate wooden trim called verge boards or barge boards. Other notable buildings in this style are the Palace of Westminster and Todmorden Unitarian Church. Our building is of hammer-dressed and ashlar stone with a blue slate roof. Mrs. Sarah Jane Fielden was from the Yates family of Liverpool. Wealthy, entrepreneurial, public benefactors, the Yates family had strong links to Unitarian beliefs and, while some branches of the family were abolitionists, others owned plantations and slaves in America. Before her marriage to Samuel Fielden, Sarah Jane travelled widely, studying new teaching methods then developing. As a married woman, she continued the Yates and Unitarian interest in education. She opened a small school in Todmorden that gained a high reputation before establishing Centrevale School, which took its first pupils in March 1872. Mrs. Fielden was a woman of determination, and by some accounts, a sharp tongue. She was unhappy with the low standards of teaching and the lack of teacher training at that time, and soon determined to do what she could to rectify the situation. She developed her own teaching method, soon to become widely known as the signal. This was a wooden clicker that was held up by the teacher and used as a sound and a position signal for the children to stand, sit, open books, etc., all without the teacher having to raise her voice or even speak at all to get their full attention. The school took about 180 pupils, mostly but not all girls, whose parents paid 4 old pence a week. At this time, a mill worker was paid between 5 and 8 shillings a week, so this is equivalent to between 4 and 7% of the wage, or between £23.40 and £40.95 today. The big hall was open plan for 3 classrooms, controlled largely in silence by means of the signal. There were more classes above the cloakroom. The red door is the main entrance to the hall. It's original, but much restored after vandalism when the building was unoccupied between 1992 and 1996. In the central hall of the school, where 3 classes were taught in almost perfect silence, you can see how light the interior is, with low sills to 1 elevation, very untypical of Victorian schools. The south side of the hall is dominated by a large rose window in the central bay, with stone tracery and a cusped Star of David. Glazing for all the windows was originally straw-coloured glass set in lead, but now only the leading to the top tracery of the arched windows and the rose window itself have survived. There are daisy vents in the walls with adjustable metal covers. They were there to allow hot air to reach the hall from hot pipes placed in ducts under the floor. The original coal-fired boiler was under the flags of the adjacent schoolmaster's house. Mrs. Fielden arranged for the heating to extend to the children's cloakroom, which was off the main entrance lobby, in order to dry the children's wet coats. Although strict by modern standards, Mrs. Fielden did not follow the common practice of caning and was prepared to say that she thought it achieved nothing. Her pupils were taught to speak well. We're not sure if that means without an accent or just clearly, and to be clean and well-dressed. Darned pinafores were tolerated, but torn pinafores were considered a disgrace. The Centervale School continued to be popular even after the opening of the board schools set up as a result of the Foster Education Act in 1870. Mrs. Fielden was the only woman invited onto the local board. Her views expressed on the board were typically forthright. Like her husband, sometimes called Black Sam, Mrs. Fielden was not afraid to speak her mind and did not make many friends in the town. She taught at Centervale until her retirement in 1896. The following year, her son, John Ashton Fielden, donated the building to the new Todmorden Borough Council, with the stipulation that it should continue to be used for education. After her retirement, Mrs. Fielden focused on teacher training, founding and funding the Fielden Chair of Education and a demonstration school at Owens College, now Manchester University. The Fielden Chair and the Fielden Professor continue to this day. Due to her practical experience and strongly held views on the importance of teacher training, she was invited to give evidence to the Royal Commission on Education in 1887. She remained actively involved in education matters until her death at Centervale Mansion in 1910, age 90. And now we have an excerpt from the memoirs of Rose Evelyn Mountain, née Stevenson, who was born in 1885 and died in 1986. This is in the records at Todmorden Library. Rose Evelyn was a pupil at Mrs. Fielden's school. Mrs. Sam Fielden lived in a large house in our valley. It was surrounded by a few fields and sloped into a wood. She was very interested in education and went to Germany to study their methods. And when she came back, she built a school on her land, half a mile or so out of the town. Its architecture was much better than that of ordinary schools. It consisted of a large room with Gothic windows along one side and a large rose window, which I thought was very beautiful, on the other. Two sets of galleries of long desks were in the big room, so two classes were always being taught in there at once. Then there was one classroom and some cloak rooms at one end, then a staircase up to a landing, on which there was a very popular rocking horse, and a classroom on each side. These were for the infants' classes. The large room went up to the wooden rafters. Outside, there was a large square playground containing one or two swings and a swing boat in which two small children could sit facing each other. A long wooden seat ran all along the side of the school. Lavatories were hidden away in shrubbery. There was a special porch with a drive up to it, kept solely for the use of Mrs. Fielden, who came most mornings to teach at the school. She had perhaps two qualified staff and one or two pupil teachers. One idea she brought back from Germany was a wooden signal that could be clicked, and it was used for the teaching of reading, so that the teacher didn't need to speak at all. I think her husband must have died fairly young. I always remember her being referred to as a millionaire's widow, and of having a large pink face surrounded by heavy crepe widow's weeds, with a veil down her back. Perhaps a touch of white somewhere, and a lot of heavy rings on her hands. One form of punishment she used was to tell a child to put its tongue between its teeth and then chuck it under its chin with ringed fingers. I don't think I ever had it done to me. Another was to make a child stand for hours with its hands up, holding half a dozen or more slates above its head. I do remember doing that and being so tired and upset that I couldn't eat any dinner when I got home, and mother being upset. I believe she gave evidence on education before a royal commission and said she built her school for the education of children on her estate, and hearing people say that it wouldn't have had more than a dozen or so. It wasn't above 100 or so children at its biggest. It gradually declined and was finally closed about when I was 10. Harold began to go there when he was 5, then Elsie, aged 4, had to go to keep him company, then I, not much over 3, had to go because I was lonely at home. It was half a mile or more from home, and we went home for dinner, so it was fairly strenuous for toddlers. I vaguely remember being asked if there weren't any more of us coming along. We had a concert for parents and friends every year, and at one the boys were massed on one gallery and the girls on another, and I was stood on a stool facing them. The song was, "He You Know Was Jackie, She You Know Was Kit, and then there came the baby girl whom everyone called It." And everyone, including myself, pointing at me. So I was always called It by the teachers and Mrs. Fielden. Mrs. Fielden's birthday was on November the 5th, and every child had to write a letter of congratulations and ornament it by sticking on it coloured scraps of flowers that could be bought for a few pennies from the shops. Then each child was given a penny, one old penny. One year it was only a half penny, as she said she was too poor to give more. We also had a tea a little before Christmas, consisting of mugs of tea and slightly currenty buns. Then the whole school filed past Mrs. F and was given a small gift. One year she said, "It would like a book," and gave me an old geography book. I was very disgusted because my sister got a small basket. However, she consented to change, so it was all right. But she was generous in big ways. When she gave up her school, she presented it to the town, and it was made into the art school, and later still, she endowed the chair of education at Manchester University, and Professor Findlay was known as the Fielden Professor of Education. Another thing she did, I was a very delicate child and had attacks of bronchitis all through the winter, and when I was away, I remember her carriage and pair arriving at our gate and the footman bringing in a basin containing some specially nutritious concoction for a small invalid and finding them very nice. Her cook also made little round sweets of shiny sugar, some white and some pink, and tins of thin ginger biscuits, all of which were used as rewards for good work or good behaviour. Sweets at home were almost unknown.